Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in. My name is Tim. I'm one of the other pastors here at Enfield Town Community Church. We're going to get our Bibles open now, so please let me encourage you to either get a physical copy and turn to Romans in the New Testament or load it up on your phone or tablet or whatever you use. So this morning we're in Romans chapter 1, and we're going to have that read for us by one of the members of our church on video, and we're going to be starting at verse 18. And as that's being read for us, what I want you to think about is, so far, and Nath helpfully reminded us in the kids' talk this morning, but what we've seen so far is the good news of God. And so as we read this next chunk, as we work through this, as it's read to us, listen out. Why is this good news needed? That's what I want you to think about. But hopefully you've got that. Romans 1, starting at verse 18, we're going to have that read for us now.
Today's Bible reading is Romans 1, verse 18 to 32. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God, nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal human beings, and birds, and animals, and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in their sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed shameful acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their error. Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind so that they do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy. Although they know what God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these things, but also approve of those who practice them.
Thank you, Becca, for that. This is God's word for us this morning. Let me pray before we turn back and consider those words together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word, your living and active word. Father, your word is always relevant to us and for us. And we pray this morning, please, that as we sit under it, as we listen to you speak, that we would see its relevance. And above all, that we would be those who freely confess our wickedness and run to our Saviour, the Lord Jesus. Lord, please help us in this time now. Please rid us from distractions. Please engage our hearts with the truths of your word. And we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in my hands this morning, I have a Bible, which hopefully you've still got because you'll need it this morning. But I've also got a newspaper. Now, let me ask you, does this help me understand this? Does this, or does God's word, does that help me understand what's going on in this, in the news, in the papers, in the news on the TV screens? Does what I read in the papers, is that kind of match up with what God's word says about our world? Now, as I had a quick flick through the paper today and this week, it doesn't take long, does it, to see a whole bunch of things that show that our world is in desperate need. There's something wrong with our world. I don't think you'd argue that this morning. And not just because of the pandemic either. Not just because this pandemic is raging our world. Just listen to some of the articles or the headlines of some of the articles in this paper alone. So on this page, page 5, we've got lawyer facing jail over £75,000 of fraud. On this page, gas attack that left villagers gasping for life, breath. There's a lot in the papers at the moment, and probably you've seen in the news about Trump's impeachment, about inciting violence. That's been quite regular. Lots about lockdown. There's a couple of things in here. So this is a really horrible one, but listen to this title. Lockdown child sex abuse hidden by underreporting. It's just another thing. Let me give you one more. Asian drug lord arrested in Amsterdam. There's also an article, actually, I've read, which struck me this week on poverty. Poverty in our world is rife. Here's a fact for you. Did you know that 9.2% of our world, which is roughly 700 million people, live in extreme poverty, which is less than £1.50 a day? And yet the world's 26 richest people own as much as the poorest 50%. Our world is messed up, right? Whether you read the newspaper or you scan the news on your phone or watch the TV. And whether this has been underlined or further highlighted by the pandemic or kind of hidden some of these things, actually, the mess of our world was evident way beyond the pandemic, wasn't it? Way before the pandemic came up. Our world is in a mess. The news declares that every day to us. And we might have different opinions. I could imagine having a conversation with you saying, you know, sharing why we think that's the case or what is necessary in order to improve the mess of our world. But this morning, I want to remind us that actually the Bible alone gives us true clarity as to what's really going on in the world, why the world's in such a mess. Only the Bible truly diagnoses, if that's the right word, diagnoses our world to say this is what the problem is. And this morning, I want to suggest that as we look at those words that Becca read for us earlier from Romans 1, 18 to 32, they're going to help us to understand this. They're going to understand that why they're going to shed light on the mess of our world. And we need to hear God's word. We need to listen closely to the diagnosis of Romans 1 so that we understand the mess of our world, but that also that we get the gospel, we get the good news of Jesus. We see why that's beautiful and needed. Every day, this details some of the mess of our world. But only God's word cuts to the heart of what that problem is. So let's dive back into Romans 1. Here's the question: what is wrong with our world? What is wrong with our world? Well, look at that first verse that was read to us, verse 18. The answer is, God is angry. Verse 18. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven. God looks on his world and he is angry. In fact, this word wrath means extreme anger. God is very angry as he sees all that goes on in his world. Why is God angry? Well, look how verse 18 goes on. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people. God sees, he looks at our world, he looks at people, and he sees wickedness in abundance. He sees the sinful act seen and recorded in the public eye. He sees the godlessness behind closed doors and in people's thoughts lives. And the stench of our wickedness rises to him and is deeply offensive before him. God is angry, and God is just in his anger, his right to be angry. He's not like you and I, who might easily get angry about the simplest thing or the smallest unnecessary thing. No, God's anger is righteous, and it burns against the wickedness of our world. And this wickedness is defined for us in Romans 1 in a number of ways. Look at the first way it's described in verse 18, just the last part. It says, the wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. This kind of squashing down. There's a cupboard here at the church, which has all the toys and games used for tots. At least when it's not pre-COVID it was. And this cupboard is really full, okay? And the tots team will know all about this. I used to have lots of dealings of it when I was an apprentice here at the church years ago. And the thing is with this cupboard, if you don't get things all in the right place, then the cupboard bulges. Even now as I look, that door is actually open a little bit. I don't know when the last time that was opened. But that's my point. The things just kind of bulge out of it. And then it's a battle then to kind of push things back in to suppress this and the toys from bulging out. Now, I imagine that everyone tuning in this morning has one of those cupboards in their house where things are just fighting to get free and you're fighting to put them back in. Now, whether it's like this tots cupboard here or something at home, this is an image that helps us with this, what it means to suppress the truth about God. Okay, so look how it flows in the text. So from verse 18, let's read down verse 19 and 20. So people suppress the truth by their wickedness. What is this truth? Verse 19. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. God, through his wonderful creation, has revealed himself to the world. It's what we call general revelation. It's not how we come to know God through Jesus. But nevertheless, in creation, we see the fingerprints of God everywhere. Everywhere we look, we get a glimpse of the Creator. So if you were to look around the room at the moment, you might see someone else that's sitting next to you and just look at them for a minute, look around the room at all the things you have, look out the window if you can, at the trees, at what the weather's doing. Is it snowing? I don't think so. We were promised it, weren't we? But everywhere you look, what do we see? We see the fingerprints of God. Now, this is another plug for a program called Perfect Planet, but it is awesome. I commend it to you. The show essentially takes a close look at nature and reveals how cool and intricate and ultimately how clever God is, even if they don't give him the credit. But God's work of creation is astounding. On this show already, they've shown volcanoes, they've shown like a glimpse of the sun and all the life that it brings to our planet. They even had they showed this clip of these ants, right, where their home was beginning to be flooded and all these ants got together and the ants actually made a boat and they started kind of floating on the water for 4 weeks. And you think, what? That's amazing. And all of these things, we don't have those kind of ants here, I don't think, but all of these things point to a Creator God. This is how Psalm 19 describes it. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the end of the world. Creation has no literal voice, but it clearly declares the glory of God. In creation, there is attainable knowledge about God, and yet, what is the wickedness of people? Well, it's to take that knowledge of God that we see in creation around us, and it's to bury it. It's to hide it. It's to ignore it. It's to suppress it. Like the tots cupboard, it's to shove everything back into the cupboard, close the door. We don't want to see it. In our wickedness, we close our eyes, we put our fingers in our ears, and we ignore the song of creation around us that declares the glory of God. That's what this is. That's what our image is. Our wickedness is to suppress the truth. We don't want to know God. And there is a warning in these verses. See, suppressing the truth of a creator God is serious. It's not going to wash before him. See, look at the end of verse 20 again. See, having all these qualities of God, having been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. Creation is clear that there is a creator. God has made it plain to the world. Therefore, people are without excuse. People can't turn around to God and say, I didn't know you were there. God says, knowledge of him is plain to see. Are you looking? Have you seen? Can you see it? It's everywhere. Don't ignore it. Don't suppress this truth. That's the kind of first wickedness that Romans 1 describes for us that is so prevalent in our world. We squash, we suppress the truth about God, that he is creator. That's the first thing. But people's wickedness isn't only to suppress the truth about God. Romans 1 also says that we exchange true worship of God for false worship. We exchange true worship of God for false worship. Look with me at verse 21. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being and birds and animals and reptiles. The right response to a wonderful creator is to praise him, is to give glory to him, is to thank him for his work. Lord, praise you for those ants from that show. It's incredible. The right response is to praise him, to thank him, is to listen to him, to live his way. And yet a bit like that perfect planet show, not only do we not kind of say, well done God, look how awesome he is, which is what verse 21 describes. We go a step further. We not only don't give worship to God, no, we start worshiping other things. We take that worship due to God and we plow it into anything else we find, anything created. Now, you might laugh at the idea of worshipping images of humans or animals mentioned in verse 23. You know, surely we wouldn't do that. But there are still many people in our world who will bow down to statues, to these gods that are made. Yet in the same way, don't people in our world chase after relationships? Don't they serve jobs? Don't they worship money and sex? Our world, including us, are guilty of this exchange. We owe God everything. We owe God our lives and our worship because he made us and because he loves us. And yet we're seeing, aren't we, as Romans describes, just the more wickedness of people. This wickedness is seen in exchanging our worship of him, the creator, for something that is created. And it's awful because the world calls it wisdom, but the Bible calls it foolishness. See, it's like exchanging dinner at a fancy restaurant for eating rotten dog food. It's like exchanging swimming with dolphins for swimming in the sewers. It's not wisdom. It's complete folly. What is wrong with the world? Romans 1 says, God is angry. And he's angry because people are wicked. We suppress the truth about God and we exchange worship in him for worshipping something made by him. Do you see how this begins to make sense of this? Can you recognize the wickedness in the world around you? Can you, even as we're going through this chapter, recognize some of the wickedness in your own heart? What is wrong with the world? Romans 1 says God is rightly angry, and he's angry because people are wicked. So how does God act in his anger? How is his righteous anger seen in the world today? Well, before we move on to kind of consider verses 24 to 32, just note again that this wrath, this anger we're talking about is present tense. So look at verse 18 again. It says, the wrath of God is being revealed. It's happening now. Now, there is a future day of judgment coming, a day in the future where all sin and all wickedness will be completely brought into the open and judged by God. This future day is mentioned in the passage we'll consider next week in Romans 2, verse 5. But the wrath, this anger that we're seeing of God in Romans 1 is present tense. It is happening in our world now. And in the rest of this chapter, we're told what this looks like. And we're told three times that we read that God's present tense anger is seen as God gives people over to wickedness. See, the first time we see this is verse 24. So verse 24, therefore, because of all the wickedness of people, therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity, for the degrading of their bodies with one another. God gives wicked people over to wickedness. God's present tense anger is seen as God gives people over to wickedness. And that might surprise you. You might be wondering, well, if we're already wicked, why would God allow us to be more wicked? But if you begin to think about it, actually God is just simply giving people exactly what they want. Our world is so caught up ignoring God and worshipping anything and everything else that God simply hands us over to it. God's present tense wrath is not uncontrolled kind of thunderbolts and lightning. It's much worse than that. God's present tense wrath is seen in him removing himself from wickedness. Now, for a minute, I want you to picture a light. Perhaps it's one in your room. Perhaps there's one in the street. Now, if you were to stand by that light, you would feel its warmth. I wish I could feel a bit more warmth from these lights. I'm a bit far away. But you would feel its warmth, and you can see everything because the light spreads across the room. But if you were to start walking away from the light, well, what's going to happen? Well, things get progressively darker, don't they? Every step away from the light is darker. And if you keep stepping, if you keep walking away from the light, well, eventually you're in complete darkness. There's no light left at all. And that's what we're beginning to see in the rest of this chapter. As we progress through each verse from verse 24, it's kind of God was stepping more and further away from the light. So let's see this. So having suppressed the truth, having exchanged the truth of God for lies, firstly, God gives our hearts over to wickedness. And verse 24, we've read it already. Let me do it again. Verse 24, therefore God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. That's number one. As people step further away from the light, have a look at verse 26 now. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural sexual relations for unnatural ones. So on the second one, and as we see it, God gives people over to shameful lusts. And again, the wickedness of people is seen in sexual immorality. Both the first giving over and the second one we've read from 24 and 26, they're both to do with sexual immorality, stepping over God's good design in creation that sex be enjoyed within heterosexual marriage and nowhere else. Then look at verse 28. This is the third and final one. Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind so that they do what ought not to be done. The verse literally says something like, just as they did not think it fit to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to an unfit mind. It's a play on words. It's this third one. God gives wicked people over to a depraved mind. And then what follows in the rest of these verses, all the way up to chapter 2, is a list of 21 sins. Just look at the list. It's not a pretty picture, is it? Just glance your eyes over from 29 downwards. And just notice as you look, so verse 29, they have become filled with every kind of wickedness. So all these sins that are listed, it's kind of, we've been filled up with them. Verse 29 also says, they are full of envy. Can I imagine a glass and it's kind of completely full, it's overflowing with wickedness. These images are supposed to see that sin is all-encompassing. And that's the point of these verses, I think. We could spend all afternoon chewing over each individual sin that's mentioned. And perhaps you could do that later on today and repent of the wickedness that you see in our world and in your own heart. But as a simple summary, I think the big point of these verses in highlighting sin is to show the pervasiveness of people's wickedness. This wickedness funnels into every aspect of life, like mold spreading. This wickedness infects finance, relationships, family life, and sex. And just note again how often the misuse of sex is mentioned in this passage. And it's there to underline the world's godlessness. In fact, I think we could say that clearly the purpose and use of sex in society is actually a helpful marker to how wicked and how far removed we are from God. I mean, just consider our country for a moment. How quickly has sexual liberty and promiscuity advanced in our culture, even in the last 10, 15 years? And it only looks to be getting worse. And as we consider that, as we consider this horrendous list of wickedness, to top it all off, look at verse 32. Although they knew God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. As God hands wicked people over to their wickedness, what makes it more tragic is the fact that we applaud it. We call the increase of wickedness in our society progress and freedom. We celebrate it. We have parades for it. We rejoice in it. Isn't that tragic? The greater our wickedness becomes, the more full of wickedness our world becomes, we clap at it. We salute it. These three giving overs, this kind of heart, body, mind, all consumed by wickedness, and that is why God is rightly angry with us. And this is a bleak picture, isn't it? This is wicked. And yet, isn't it a true reflection that we see in here of our world and in our own hearts? I think Romans 1 clearly makes sense of all that we see here. And this isn't just opinion like you and I chatting about it. This is God's word. This is fact. What's wrong with the world? God is angry because people are wicked. And God, in his anger, hands wicked people over to wickedness. He gives them what they want. And that is the sad reality of our world. And friends, unless we understand this, unless we understand the bleakness of this picture, the wickedness of our own lives, the wickedness of our world, then we will never understand the beauty and the goodness and the joy of Jesus. See, if all we've seen this morning from Romans 1 is true, which it is because it's God's word, then what do we need? Well, we need the gospel of God. We need the good news that changed Paul's life and got him to write to the Christians in Rome to encourage them with the gospel. What do we need, friends? We need Jesus. Just have a look again at verse 17. It's the verse before our passage. It's the verse that one of the verses we looked at last week. But just look what it says. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. We could spend a long time considering all that this righteousness is and what it means, and we looked at much of that last week. But very simply, righteousness is when someone is right before God, having a restored relationship with him, which is exactly what we need, isn't it? Having considered Romans 1:18 to 32 this morning. We've seen that our world, including us, is wicked. Maybe not as wicked as we could be by God's grace, but wicked all the same. You and I desperately need gospel, the gospel of righteousness of God. And this righteousness is only possible with God. There's nothing that you and I can do to kind of wash away our wickedness. Now, we must ask God for this righteousness, this gift received by faith. One way to describe kind of biblical faith, if you've heard that word, you don't know what it means. Faith is coming to God empty-handed. We open our arms and say, Lord, I've got nothing to offer you but my wickedness. Please give me your righteousness. Please forgive me. And the Christian hope, the joy in response to the horror we've thought about this morning, is that God delights to answer that prayer because he has revealed his righteousness to us in the person and work of Jesus. So you consider these words from Acts chapter 2. Peter's speaking to a crowd and he says, "Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know." Listen to this. "This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him up from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him." How is our righteousness possible? Well, it's because God handed our Lord Jesus over to wickedness. It wasn't his own. No, God handed Jesus over to the wickedness of men in order that he might die for my wickedness, for your wickedness, that he might experience God's just anger at our wickedness on himself at the cross, so that all those who turn to him will be spared. That instead of his anger, I would be clothed in his perfect righteous life. Now, just to be clear, all of us live in the present world and experience together God's present tense anger. That's current. But we can be sure that by trusting in Jesus and his righteousness, we know that God's anger has finally been dealt with for us at the cross. That's our confidence. Friends, is that your confidence? Is that your hope this morning? If you haven't yet asked God for his forgiveness, I urge you this morning to take shelter in our Lord Jesus. Ask him for forgiveness. Ask him to clothe you with his righteousness. Turn from your wickedness and follow Jesus from today into eternity. For those of us already trusting Jesus, if you have this hope already, then firstly, let's mourn our sin and our wickedness, and then let's praise God afresh for the righteousness we have in Jesus because of his willingness to suffer in our place. And what's more, as we're reminded afresh of why there's such mess in our world today, and of the wrath of God that's being revealed from heaven, will we not have fresh zeal and immediacy to go and take this gospel of hope to others, that they may understand why there's such mess, why our world is so wrong, and the hope that they can have in the Lord Jesus, that they may come to truly know the living God and find refuge in him too. Friends, the Bible teaches us about our world. It's so real with us. It's so relevant. God is angry because of the wickedness of our world. Our only hope is in turning to his Son, the Lord Jesus, and asking for the righteousness that comes from him alone. Are you trusting that this morning? Or will you ask him for that? Let me give you just a moment to reflect on some of what we've heard this morning, and then I'll lead us in a prayer. Our Father in heaven, as we've sat under your word this morning, we want to say sorry for the wickedness of our world, for the sin that we see. Lord, we're sorry that our world is not only wicked, but it applauds wickedness. And we want to say sorry for the times, the moments in our lives that we've joined in that wickedness. Lord, we don't deserve your mercy. And we're sorry. Lord, thank you for your loving warning in your word. Thank you that your word is real with us. It doesn't leave us just to think about the mess we're in. But that, Lord, the solution is clear. Father, I pray this morning that this picture of wickedness would deeply impact us, that it would cause us to mourn our sin, but more importantly, it would cause us to flee ourselves and run to the Lord Jesus. That, Lord, there'd be many more added this morning to your kingdom who turn to you in faith, who come empty-handed and ask for your righteousness, that they'll be clothed in it. Lord, what a gift that is to us. We don't deserve it, but we praise you for it. Lord, please hear our prayer. Please forgive our sins. Please help us to trust you and to give you the praise that's due to your name. And we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we respond to what we've heard, we're going to sing, O great God of highest heaven. Let's sing. And forevermore. Amen.